Amen. Boy, God is good. Amen. Listen, before I ask Heather to come up, I want to just say a few things. As I just said, you know, today we set aside this special day once a year. We call it Mission Sunday to thank God for all that He has done here at Calvary Chapel. And since 2004, as you know, our mission work, global work, and any local work that God has called us to goes through our charity that was founded again in 2004. And so it's a public Christian charity, by the way, and it's all about children. Now, we know that our local work here through LNFI is, of course, Haltom Christian School, and our present global work is the work that's happening there at the orphanage in Camargo, Mexico. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 115:1, it says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." God is faithful. He has always been faithful. And when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Amen. And God calls individuals, those that He has gifted, which we are all gifted if you're in the body of Christ. And He calls those who are committed to the Lord and faithful to the Lord, and He uses them to change the lives, in this case, of course, children. Amen? That's what we do. Now, you know, someone said this, an empty mind, I think I said this, by the way. You know, you after a while, you don't know who it belongs to, but it doesn't matter to me. It's good. It says that an empty mind is extreme poverty, but a child's mind that is empty of God's word is a debased mind. Now, to make sure I'm doing everything correct, let me look at this outline because I don't want to be scolded after this service. Now, Heather, it is Heather's turn, and Heather is the principal of Halston Christian School. And are we going to play a video first? And yes, there we go. Someone messed up here, not me. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a video about Haltom Christian School, and then Heather's going to come up, and she is going to speak, and I'm going to make sure this microphone is turned on, and this was supposed to be done for me. And that's okay. I've been ill. Go ahead, guys. I can handle this while you do the video.
You are the I'm so thankful for this opportunity to speak to you today and give an update on our third year at Haltom Christian School. Over the past 3 years, Pastor Bill has given me the opportunity to share with you all about the work the Lord is doing at HCS. I'm always blessed by this as it encourages me to push pause and reflect on the many challenges and triumphs in the days of our small beginnings. As some of you may remember, this adventure with the Lord has been a very personal experience for me. It has stretched and tested my faith. Every year before school begins, the Lord speaks a word to my heart, and I've learned this word is a truth I will need to hold on to for the new school year. In year one, as we considered the idea of planting a school, my word from the Lord was 1 Corinthians 3:6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. At this time, I struggled with feeling unqualified, unequipped, and unexperienced. The Lord was teaching me that I was only called to honor the labor, trusting He will be faithful to sustain this work. But I also learned that He owns the results. So, in year two, we set our hands to this great work and began laying the foundation for Haltom Christian School. And in our first year, the Lord gave me Hebrews 13:5b. Being content with what you have, for He has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor will I forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold on you. And He never did. Not through the transition of teachers, the beginning of a pandemic, the shift from on-campus to virtual learning. The Lord proved Himself to be true to His word. He never forsook us. He navigated us through every trial with His wisdom. He went before us in every obstacle. And this year, year three, from Philippians 4:11, be content in your present circumstance. But as you all know, in this day, nothing is certain but uncertainty. Of all the verses I could have been given, where was my battle cry to stand on? Like, the Lord fights for you from Exodus 14:14, or I will strengthen you and help you from Isaiah 41:10. But this word was personal, and may I say, challenging. To be content, which is in a state of peaceful happiness, in my present, existing, or occurring now circumstance. But Lord, my present circumstance, the circumstances of the world, are constantly changing. But I'm supposed to remain in a state of peaceful happiness? And this word, but, was ever present in my mind. At the beginning of this school year, but Lord, we need to hire 5 new teachers before school starts. August was coming, and we had hired 2. If I'm honest, it was beginning to look like a dire situation. So my administrative team and I began brainstorming possible solutions. If Amy Weller, my fellow administrator, and I stepped into the classroom, we would need one more teacher to swing it. 1 week before our staff in-service began, the third teacher came. The Lord answered my but with a simple reply. But God, He sustains us. Okay, so we can open our doors. But Lord, we didn't get everyone we need. I'm back in the classroom. But God, He knows what every student needs. He knows what every teacher needs. He knows what I need. And He walks through it all with us. And the unique situation I have been called to this year has brought me what is perhaps the greatest joy a teacher can experience. Last year, I was blessed with the opportunity to teach and invest in a particular student who had quite the mountain to climb. Her journey will forever be a treasure to my heart. She showed an admirable grit. With every obstacle she overcame, her character and confidence grew, and she has blossomed into an exceptional student and a passionate Christ follower. As teachers, we invest our hearts in the children in our class each year. But every year begins anew, with new faces. We often do not see the fruits of our labor. But this year, this student is in my class again. And this year, I get to watch her bear fruit. I get to see the Lord at work in her. I have a present picture every day of what it is God calls us to do here. And this year, in the classroom, he boldly showed me why he established this school in this season. I was overwhelmed to read this child's I am thankful for letter to her teacher, me, and find the words, "You have changed my life completely. Not me, but God." So why have I been called to be content in my present circumstance this year, to choose to be in a state of peaceful happiness in whatever storm or difficulty we may face? And if I'm honest, the difficulties are many. I now know it's because the Lord has proven his steadfast faithfulness. I can choose to be content in my present circumstance because God is faithful. I can trust him in his promises, in his faithfulness, because God's ever-present hand is evident in this work. As we continue to plant and water, God has been faithful to give the increase. In our first year, we opened the door with 8 students, 8 hearts, and today we have been entrusted with 39. Yeah. As we continue to plow and press on into the unknown, the Lord will not forsake us or leave us without support. While this year we may have not gotten all of the teachers I had determined we would need, the ones the Lord has called are mission-minded. He's called the ones whose heart is to serve him, to be his hands and feet, to see children for who they are in Christ, to identify and speak life into how each child is smart, to speak the truth into their hearts that God has a specific purpose for them and their life. Our teachers are inspired to minister to what is our greatest treasure, his little children. The teachers and staff at HCS believe themselves privileged to be a part of the Lord's work at the school that he established, he grows, and he sustains. And I can say that it's a privilege and an honor to see the Lord show up so evidently, so frequently, firsthand on this great adventure with him. He is faithful in his timing. He is faithful in his word. He is faithful in his provision, much of which comes from you. Thank you for your prayers and your offerings. Thank you for your encouragement and your continued support. Our teachers and staff are in the business of heart work. We likely will not know on this side of heaven the impact we will have, that these children will have for the Lord's kingdom. But we will fix our eyes and dig in. We will choose to be content in our present circumstance because we are on this journey with the Lord. He promises to make us strong, firm, and steadfast. May he strengthen our hearts for what lies ahead. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I cannot, not that I want to embarrass Heather or anything, but I have never met a young woman that is so God-driven and labors untold hours and never complains about that. All for this school. Amen. So, Heather, we thank you for that. I want to make sure that I follow my outline here. Wouldn't it be great if I had an outline given to me every Sunday and I didn't have to make it? Just, Bill, this is what we, okay, praise the Lord. You know, this morning, I'm so excited because I miss this couple that I'm about to, you know them, I know them, and I miss them not being here, but I also am so thankful for what God has called them to do. So there are missionary pastors there in Mexico, Steve and Carol Chavez, and what an incredible team that God has called together. Amen? I mean, unbelievable. It's like they were literally, I mean, they were made for what they, God made them for what they are doing. And it's amazing how just two people, well, of course, it's all of us, but two people, they say, you know, we're going to go down to Mexico, and then we get to watch the lives of children be changed because of what they're doing. I mean, what a great honor that is. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, and is this where I'm supposed to start? Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to save that part, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Steve and Carol Chavez, I know you're here. We're just stand for one moment before we play the video. Let's welcome them home. We love you. We're going to show, it's time to play the video. Is that right? That's what it says. And then Steve and Carol, they're going to come up.
Please stand right before me.
Good morning. Those are pretty special kids, don't you think? Well, it's good to be back and to be able to share with you the things that God has done in the past year at the orphanage, with the mission teams, the orphanage staff, the kids, Pastor Luna and his wife Teresa. One thing has been true since the very beginning, since we first started going to Mexico, planning trips, things to do in Mexico, outreaches, building houses, going to the orphanages, all the things that we've worked at. There's one thing you can count on. The plans you make will probably change. This last year has been no different. We started the year by making two mission trips, one in February, one in March, and we were able to provide the orphanage with a new washer, a new dryer, refrigerator, things that they needed right at that moment. It's just amazing how God supplies just at the right time. We made some improvements and we spent some good quality time with the kids. As most of you know, Carol and I made the plans to move to Rio Grande Valley and to be close enough to be able to spend quality time with the kids and to make a long-term commitment trying to bring the facility back into a workable state. We made the move in July. And Pastor Luna talks about groups that used to come in 10, 15 years ago, and they made big improvements. They made built buildings and made big commitments, but they were one-time commitments to better the orphanage. The facility is really pretty big, and I can see how at one time it was a very nice place, and they did a lot of good things there. But just like all of us, they don't last forever, and that place didn't last forever. It needs to be maintained. For the past 5 to 7 years, the place has been filled with violence and terror. Pastor Luna tells of stories that I just can't imagine how they've gotten through them, but they did get through them, and they're still there. We've heard Pastor Luna tell of how they had men's retreats, conferences, and really good things did happen there. But when the violence started, all their support ended. After being there for the past 5 months, we have a little better understanding of how the place is run and what it takes to keep it going. And I don't really understand how they've kept it going. It's a big place, and it's a lot of work. There's good stories of how kids have graduated out of there, out of the orphanage, and have made really good lives for themselves. They've really done a good job with some of those kids. We don't have time to tell all the stories, but we do have one live testimony that I'd like him to come up right now. His story is a little different in that he is a U.S. citizen. He was able to come to the U.S. and start a new life. This here is Heriberto. But we just call him Beto. He's been at the orphanage since he was 4 years old, and he has three sisters. A younger one, I think one. Anyway, he has three sisters.
Tenía un hermano.
Pero las dos. ¿Son
menor
de usted o?
Menor.
Menor. Yeah, they're younger than him. I think he has one older one. Anyway. The youngest one, her name is Reina, and she was brought to the orphanage in their arms. She knows nothing different. That's her whole life. She's always been there. So I'd like for Beto to say a few words. I don't know if I'm bad. You can just switch back and forth.
Primero que nada, quiero dar las gracias a todos ustedes por lo que están haciendo por los muchachos y los niños.
First of all, I want to thank you again for everything that you're doing for all the children at the orphanage, the little ones and those older.
Y yo estuve ahí casi 15 años, estuve en la casa hogar.
And I personally have lived there for 15 years of my life.
Y yo he visto cómo muchas personas han ido, han pasado por ahí.
And I've seen all the people that have come and gone through our orphanage.
Pero Ustedes son muy especiales porque ustedes no nomás fueron, ustedes se han quedado ahí.
But you are special because you didn't only come once, but you kept coming back.
Han regresado y eso es como ellos tener un pequeño seguro que los hace sentir bien, que si algo está mal podemos recurrir a ustedes.
And that's something that makes us feel secure. Because when we think something's going wrong, we know that you're going to come back and make it right.
Y créanme que estar ahí dentro de ahí no es nada fácil.
Please believe me when I say being there is not very easy.
Y pues ellos están muy agradecidos porque hay muchas personas como ustedes que dan sin recibir algo a cambio.
And we're very grateful because there's people like you that give without expecting anything in return.
Es una última cosa.
And this is what I want to say to you. Thank you.
Yo tengo 6 meses, o como ocho meses en Texas, y he estado muy lejos de ellos, pero por las fotos que vi, creo que lo están pasando bien.
I've been away from them for 8 months now, but this video shows me that they're being well taken care of and doing well.
Thank you, Beto. Our time at the orphanage since July has been filled with making plans and then watching the Lord work. Proverbs 14:14 says something that has stuck with me for many, many years. It says, well, I'm going to say it in Spanish first and then in English. Sin bueyes, el granero está vacío, mas por la fuerza del buey, hay abundancia de pan. And in English it says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But much revenue comes from the strength of the ox. I feel like you guys are the strength. What we've been able to do in the past 5 months, yes, even in the past 5 years, has been because of your strength. I know that God is the strength, and he deserves the credit, the honor, the glory, and he's always there for us. God's love never fails. But you have been willing and obedient servants, and without you, we wouldn't be here today. You have supported all that we do faithfully and consistently. We've never lacked anything that we needed. Yes, we've made many improvements, and many, this is important, many, many more are needed. But it's only by your support that we're here and able to be there and getting these things done. All the improvements that you have seen in the past videos that you've watched the last few months, and the story, there's a lot of stories related to them, and we don't have time to tell them all. But when the kids come up to you and they ask you, why do you keep coming back? Why do you bother with us orphans? That's when we get to tell them how much God loves them, how he cares for them. How he's a father to the fatherless. How he paid for their sins. You get to tell them that they're very important and that God is faithful even when we and their families and us are not faithful. He is still faithful. These kids have had a rough year with the pandemic and their schooling. I know it's been tough for the kids in the U.S., so you can imagine how tough it's been for them. They don't have everything they need to learn properly, and all that they should be learning. Their school schedule is 2 days a week. It had been 2 days a week. Now, since they back from the holidays, they're back to online learning. They spend a lot of time at the orphanage with nothing to do. Carol's going to share just a little bit of how we worked or tried to work at making the changes in that area.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to see you all. And I just wanted to share a little something that was really special for the kids. Just like Steve was saying, that these kids have a lot of free time. They're bored a lot of the time, and especially for the little ones. And that's why I wanted to say thank you to the Haltom Christian School parents and the children for sending some beautiful reading books that were just recently sent to the orphanage. And this was the most precious, wonderful gift they could have ever received. When we first arrived at the orphanage, because of the COVID, the children were having to do their school at home. And they were basically receiving printout worksheets with very little instructions. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. And they were pretty much black and white, nothing colorful, maybe, you know, able to use crayons or cut and paste things. And so I began asking them if they had any reading books. And they said no, they didn't have any reading books at all. So because we have a great God, I truly believe this was sent from God. There just happened to be a little, in our little town where we live, right behind our apartment, a public library. So I got my library card, my new library card, and another miracle, they happened to have a whole section, just Spanish books for children. So I started taking books to the children, and I can't describe the joy, the excitement that was on their faces when they were able to look at books, see pictures, and we started reading the books to them. And before you know it, they were like little parrots reading to us. And so that being said, our goal was to start a little library for the kids. And we mentioned this to Paul, that maybe we could start a book drive. And before you know it, we received a box of books from Haltom Christian School, the children and the parents. And we now have what I call a library on wheels. I just about every day I pull a wagon into their room full of books, and the kids can read and enjoy them. And you couldn't have sent a better, a more perfect gift for them. Thank you.
We have many more projects to do, excuse me, and deeper relationships to build with the kids. The closer we get to the kids, the bigger the impact they have in our lives. We had two brothers that were there. They had been there since we began going there. Their names were Emmanuel and Irving. We had always thought of them as really good kids. On mission trips, we only see them a very small part of their lives, especially when we're only there for 2-3 times a year and 2 days, very short days. We didn't get to spend a lot of time with them, but they always seemed like really good kids. Being there on a daily basis, though, we were able to see and get to know them better and soon realized that they were kind of the bullies, the black sheep of the family. I would like to say that they're not the only one. There's other black sheep in there, too. They're all kids growing up, just like our kids grew up. I didn't have perfect kids, and I certainly wasn't a perfect kid when I grew up. But These were things that were going on for years. And being around these boys for the last 3 months, we became to know them a little better and saw that it was just going to be too much to handle. They were sent to another orphanage, and we're praying that they're getting the help that they needed. But that was a very hard thing to watch them kids go. There's two other siblings, a 3- and a 5-year-old, that were sent home for the holidays. We're not real sure if they're going to be able to come back or not. They were sent back to their grandparents. But we're praying that they will come back. Or unless their situation is better with their grandparents, then that's really what they need. But it is a heartache to get to know these kids and then to see them leave. Speaking of leaving, we actually have 4 kids that are going to be leaving this fall for college. This picture here, this guy here, he is 18 years old. His name is Luis. He doesn't have a desire to go after a degree or anything, but he wants to learn a trade. This here is his sister. Her name is Monse. She's 17 years old, and she plans to go into college and major in forensics. This right here is Jessica. She's 18 years old, and she plans to attend a school of cosmetology. This here is her brother, Alex, and he plans to study medicine. Alex is a very ambitious young man, and he does a lot of the organizing and the logistics for the homeschooling that they do at the orphanage. So I bring this up to say their plans are to move to Reynosa, find an apartment in a centralized area, and then go to probably 3 or 4 different schools from there, trade school, cosmetology school, and medical school. So what we really were working, they working at small jobs around the orphanage. They do raffles, they sell different things, fundraisers for their schooling, and we're really proud of them for, you know, making these plans and wanting to further their education. It's great to see how God has always been there for them, and we know that God has taken care of them to this point, even when their parents weren't there for them. The Lord is not giving up on them. They have been given opportunities because the love and the support that you have shown to them, and how we are always there for them. We moved in July and have been in Rio Grande Valley for the past 6 months now, but things have not stopped there. Trips are still being planned and organized. Donations continue to come in, and support continues to come in thanks to Pastor Bill's leadership, support, and encouragement. Not only that, but Paul Koo has taken over in the organizing and coordinating of all that goes on in this end to make the mission teams come together. He has all the donations organized, collected, loaded, and delivered. And I've asked him to come up and share just a little bit of how this role has been for him since he's taken over.
Thank you, Steve. Well, first of all, let me just give all praise, honor, and glory to our God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And, after Heather and Beto, I was going to bring a Bible up here to read some scripture, but my contacts are floating around, so I can't see so well. So I'll paraphrase as best I can when I get to it. But first, let me just thank you all for the continued support. Without your financial support, none of this happens. And you have been so faithful over the years. We It's just astounding. And, you know, I've been going on mission trips for I don't know how many years. I don't count. But coming in as a missions coordinator, you know, I've always seen the traders full, the benefits of the gifts to the kids and the, just the constant supply that they have. But man, when I step into this coordinator's role, to see the faithfulness of God is amazing. The food drive we had, there was a lot we needed. And, you know, I kind of was like, well, Steve and Carol aren't doing this, and it's just me, and maybe they don't like me as much as Steve and Carol, and maybe we're not going to get enough stuff. And so you get these things, right? But, man, we had over 1,500 pounds of food and supplies. That trailer was full. Amazing. And there were even things that we brought that we didn't ask for, like two cribs that were donated. And I asked Steve, hey, can you use some cribs? I don't know, we don't have babies there. But he said, bring them. We didn't know that a few months later, after we left, even weeks, there was a family in need that needed those cribs that were escaping a very violent situation. And it just shows that even when we don't ask the things that we need, God knows exactly what we need. But I want to thank you because of your faithfulness. It is astounding to just see the continued support and the way you support this mission. When we had the angel tree up, it was up for one Sunday and all the angels were gone. One Sunday. And everything was met. You know, we got together and we were unpacking those gifts. And I said, well, we need to make an accounting just in case someone didn't bring something, because it could happen. I mean, you know, nothing was missing. In fact, there was an abundance. And it's just amazing that I am privileged to see God's faithfulness, but I'm privileged to see the body that I serve with. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you to serve alongside such loving, giving, faithful people. It is truly a blessing. You know, the Lord was saying, he said, thank you for feeding me when I was hungry, giving me drink when I was thirsty, clothing me when I was naked. And then they said, well, Lord, when did we do these things? And he said, when you did them to the least of these, and as much as you did them to me. When you give, you're giving to the Lord. And then the Lord uses it to bless those children. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are an amazing group of people. And it's a privilege and a humble honor to serve as a mission coordinator, but a blessing to serve alongside such wonderful, giving, loving people. Thank you.
I really do want to thank Paul. He's done a great, great job. I'd like to tell a little story once heard of a guy that was looking to store up some firewood for the winter, and he figured that he needed about 10 cords. It makes sense, just bear with me here. So he went to the store and he asked, you know, I need a saw that's going to cut me 10 cords. I only have a month to do it, and I got to stock up for the winter. And the guy told him, well, this is the perfect saw right here. It'll cut you 10 cords in a week. You can, as long as you work hard at it, you'll be done in a week. He said, great, that's what I need. I'll take it. So he goes home, works as hard as he thinks he needs to, comes back in a week, and he says, this saw's a junk. He said, oh, I worked hard, I only cut a half a cord. The guy says, now you're not working hard enough. Go back, work harder. But he says, okay, I'll try it. Went back, worked just as hard as he could, cut one cord. Went back and he said, no, this is not good. He said, I worked hard, I cut one cord. He said, well, bring it in and we'll take a look at it. Guy brings it in, the guy puts it on the table, pulls the cord, and the guy sat back and he says, what's that noise? That happens a lot, I think, in our lives. We tap into our own strength and our own power, and we try to do it on our own, where we need to rely on God. And He is faithful, and He can do. All we have to do is really just be there and make ourselves available and stand back and watch Him work. And that has been our experience at the orphanage, and just try to make ourselves available and watch God work. And things are really happening. Like I said earlier, there's a lot more that needs to be done, but God is faithful, and we'll get it all done with your help and with your support. You know, we've been going to Mexico for 13 years, I guess, and we've always made a stop in Jico. And there's a little station there that has these sayings everywhere. And one of the sayings is that I read a long time ago. It says, if you don't live for something, you'll die for nothing. Thank you.
Real quick.
I didn't make that mistake.
Yes.
Well, the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to see all that God is doing because of your faithfulness? Amen. You know, our global work, our local work, and the tremendous, like Paul, everyone, we all know how wonderful the giving you guys are. You know, but when I started out earlier, I was talking about how it's amazing when you see people step out serving the Lord, and how people, things change. And to watch the videos that come in from Steve and Carol and or the Halton Christian School, and I get to see all the things that are happening. things that you don't necessarily get to see unless you go online or maybe you watch the videos on Love Never Fails Sunday and so forth. But you know what? Children's lives are being changed. You know, the Bible tells us, Paul writes and he says in Romans 10:12, he says, there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. There's no distinctions. God has no favors. Amen. He says, and I love this scripture, for whoever calls, that word, of course, whoever prays, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a great scripture? But there's the only problem with that is how are they going to call upon the name of the Lord? And then Paul tells us how. He says, well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How can they hear unless they are sent? I am so thankful. And I tell you what, Carmargo, the children there at the orphanage, Pastor Luna, Teresa, all of them, I'll tell you how thankful they are. They're thankful for what God has done by sending Steve and Carol to Mexico. And you know what? We can honestly say they have beautiful feet. And that's a hard thing to say about Steve. You know what I'm saying? But they have beautiful feet. And the Bible tells us that. Listen, not all of us can go into all the world. Amen? But every person that is a believer can support what God and whom God has sent out. Amen? You know, I tell you, I rejoice in the Lord for Heather's labor at Haltom Christian School. I rejoice in the Lord for Steve and Carol, the labor that they're doing, that labor of love. I rejoice in Paul Koo, the mission team, all that God has called you guys to do, and you keep doing that. But I'll tell you what I rejoice for this second, and that is for you, for this church, because you are faithful in supporting the work that God has called us to. Not only our local work here, but our global work in Mexico as well. And your heart, your support, I believe, is a true example to many other churches and believers because of what you've done. I read this week in the newspaper, it broke my heart when I read it because it had pictures of little children. And I have that, you know, I love children. Do you ever notice that children love me? Not the church. The church doesn't love me. Oh, come on. No, no, no. Children, I don't know what it is, but they just like being around me. And I feel so secure being around little children. I don't feel secure being around adults. And I read this story, and I saw these little children in Afghanistan. And they are hungry, and they are freezing. And you know how they're staying warm? They're burning plastic. And that's how they're heating inside their little shelter where they are. And it's the fumes are just overwhelming. And when I saw that, I said to myself, oh, I'm thankful for this church. I am thankful for God's faithfulness. I am thankful for your faithfulness because you know what? The children, our children, that we are responsible, we are stewards for in Mexico. Loved one, listen, they have full stomachs. They are warm. They are clothed. They are cared for. Amen? And all because of what you're doing. I mean, they're in a safe place. They're in a warm place, a warm bed. And you know why they have love and hope in their hearts? Do you know, like Beto just said a moment ago, when you come back and things are wrong, I love what he said. I started crying. He said, you make us feel secure. You make us feel secure. You make us feel safe. Loved one, listen. The reason that they have a future, the reason they are going to college, leaving the orphanage, going into college, is because of your faithfulness. But I'm going to tell you something. More than anything else, your support is giving. Now, we're talking about Mexico right now. Your support, what you are giving, loved one, listen to me, to the children of Camargo, you're giving them the most important things in their very life right now. And you know what that is? For the very first time at Camargo, for the very first time, they have an ongoing spiritual father and mother, Stephen Carroll Chavez. Amen. They're there for them. And if you watch those videos, do you see how the children just follow them wherever they go? You know why? Because they're learning that they are being loved and they want to be with them. And when I see that, it just blesses me more than you can imagine. You know, today is Love Never Fails Sunday, Mission Sunday. And Love Never Fails International is a public Christian charity that God has raised up so many, many years ago. And it's all about children. And so you're probably saying, well, Bill, now here it comes. Of course it is. I'm going to get ready to ask for something. And I ask for so little at this church. And you know that, and I do too as well. But I tell you this every time. I am the voice for the children. They're not here. They have to have a voice. Amen? And so this morning I'm asking you, and I'm asking you to do something bigger than you've ever done. I'm asking you not to just give. That's not what it's about. But yes, to give, but lay up treasure in heaven. Amen? Because when you give, that's what happens. You're laying up treasure in heaven, and you invest in what lasts. You remember the rich young ruler when he came unto Jesus and said, oh, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, keep the commands, you know, da-da-da-da. And said, oh, I've kept them all, you know. And Jesus looked at him and loved him, saying, in other words, hello, you're a dummy. You haven't. You know what I mean? And so Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? You lack one thing. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have, listen to this promise, you will have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Listen, I don't know if you picked up an envelope that for the missions or the local work, the global work when you came in. I don't know if you did or not, but here's what I'm doing. You that are listening live and you that are here, I want you to listen to me now. Last year, 77,000 people, that was our total number of our congregation all over the world that consistently listened, 77,000 people. That's amazing, isn't it? So here's what I'm asking you that are listening live, that you'll listen later on Vimeo and YouTube and all the rest of it. What if 77,000 people that listen around the world, if you just sent $1, just $1, that would be $77,000. What if you sent $2? Two measly dollars. You can't even buy a Starbucks for that. You can't even buy a gallon of gas for that. Why don't you do that? And you that are sitting here, loved one, listen, you know what? You know what a poor church is? A poor believer is one that never, ever gives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Whenever Love Never Fails started back in 2004, the Lord spoke this scripture to my heart, and he said, this is the foundational scripture. And you know that scripture. It's Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity upon the poor. The word pity doesn't mean to feel sorry for someone. It means to see the need and be led by the Spirit of God and truly help that person. Amen? In other words, it's a hand up in life, not a hand out. He who hath pity upon the poor, listen to this now, lendeth unto God. Can you believe that scripture is in the Bible? Lends unto God, and what he, what you, whatever you have given, it says, God will pay you back. That is from the God who cannot lie. That is a true word from God. Did you know that when we give every mission offering, every once a month we take it up? Listen, do you know you're investing? You're making an investment. You're lending to God because you're supporting the poor children, or you're supporting the children or the teachers or whatnot there at Halton Christian School. And listen, God says, I'll pay you back. But don't ask, you know, don't give him the definition of the payback. Amen. Let God's definition of giving back to you is bigger than you'll ever imagine. But you have to give. You have to give. Ushers are getting ready to come forth in just 1 second. Loved one, listen to me. You can ask Stephen Carroll. You can ask Paul Koo. You can ask me. 100% of all monies that are giving for either our local work or global work, Halton Christian School or Mexico, nothing goes to Calvary Chapel. Did you know that? Not 1 cent goes to Calvary. Every penny, for example, Mexico, every penny goes to the children and to the work down there. Even when the mission teams, hey guys, when Paul takes you guys out, all those, whatever it costs, that doesn't come out of the Love Never Fails International account. That comes out of Calvary's account. Amen? 100% of what you're about to give. And I'm asking you to dig deep. I'm asking you to give the greatest offering. That's right. And I don't beg for money here. I don't even talk about tithes and offerings unless it comes into the scripture. Amen? No, man, don't let me strain my voice. I've been sick. No, listen, no. You know, I look and I say, oh, Lord, I want you to do something before the ushers come. Maybe you have a check. I don't know. Maybe you give online. I don't know. Maybe you do it on your phone. I don't know how you do it today. I'm still the old way. I write a check, okay? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at it. I want you to look at your offering. Or maybe you're going to give later, and I want you to remember as you write out something or go online and punch it in to whatever system that we have here. But when you write out that offering, you know what it means? I want you to look at it, because it means you love people. It means that you love children. Look at it. You see what I'm getting ready to give here, this service? And I have another check, too, for the next service. You know what it means? This right here, it doesn't mean money to me. It means a warm bed for a child. It means education. It means a full stomach. It means a place of safety. It means a future who have no future, a hope when they have no hope. That's what that means. Does that make sense? It means when you look at this one little giving this time, this year, you know what it means? It means you offering your, it means life for children. Jesus said, as the ushers come forth, Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom when you give. For with the measure that you give, it will be measured back to you. And the church says, amen. Amen. I'm telling you, there's no greater thing than giving to those who cannot give back to you. Amen. And I pray, you online, listen, I'm begging you. I would love to see, like I said, that dollar amount, $77,000 come in from online. Would that be a blessing? Oh man, do you know how much work and that's needed at Camargo? It is unbelievable. But if you see what Steve and Carol are doing down there, it is incredible, the workmanship and the swing set. You couldn't get it. Remember how you're going to order it? Supply train. Soul train. You know, you know the thing is that what did they do? Mr. Grimmer went down. What didn't he come down too? Yeah. And you know what? Did you see how they built that by hand? Oh, did you just see the fatted calf they killed last week? I love you dearly. Steve Carroll, I'm so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. here just for at least to say hello and the wonderful work you're doing. Heather, God bless you guys. Your teachers are wonderful. Everybody works so hard. Let's stand to our feet now. And is Jesse coming? Is he here? Jesse. Oh, you know, don't you love that guy? Yeah. He's going to close us out. Listen, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. If you need prayer, you know there'll be people here down below here to pray with you after the service. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord, and you guys are then dismissed. God.